the high harvest rates of female brown bears concern biologists, and Haines and Skagway superintendents say canceling state testing is the right call. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. State biologists are concerned about the high harvest rates of female brown bears in the Chilkat Valley. The numbers are especially high when it comes to the non-resident guided harvest. But some local hunting guides say they can only do so much to stop clients from taking sows when there are no regulations against it. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
Before you shoot, take a closer look. Do you really want to shoot a 3 or 4 year old female grizzly about 5 feet long, weighing just a little more than you do? That's what you've got in your sights.
That's the first few seconds of a video on the Alaska Department of Fish and Game website called Take a Closer Look. Its purpose is to educate hunters on how to distinguish between sows and boars in order to protect female bears. Fish and Game biologist Carl Koch spoke to the Upper Lynn Canal Fish and Game Advisory Committee Friday. He said the goal is to keep the harvest of female brown bears below 40%. But the numbers for the Chilkat Valley exceeded that threshold multiple times in the past 5 years. Last fall, 75% of bears harvested were sows. Here's Koch.
Brown bears have slow reproduction. Their cubs have low survival. And so this has us, it's definitely getting our attention. We're, at this point, we're concerned and we're paying close attention to it.
Koch says it's hard to know if the high harvest of sows is significantly hurting the overall bear population. Unlike moose and mountain goats, Fish and Game can't count bears using aerial surveys, and it's costly to pay for a bear study. Koch says the best guess for the total population in the Chilkat Valley is around 350 bears. Non-resident harvest appears to be a problem area. 54% of the bears taken in the non-resident harvest between 2010 and 2014 were female. Non-residents need to hire hunting guides to legally harvest brown bear in the Chilkat Valley, Unit 1D. Here's advisory committee member Ryan Cook.
Yeah, it looks like the guides are the one that need the little bit of education.
Larry Benda has worked as a hunting guide in Haines for 20 years. Don't shoot sows. That's the advice Benda says he gives each client. But not everyone listens.
He can tell me, you know what? We are on day number 8 of 12-day hunt, and I want to kill bear, and I can't stop him.
Benda says he can't stop him because it's legal to harvest a sow without cubs. Haines hunting guide Al Gilliam agrees. There's only so much you can do as a guide.
I end up getting hunters here that have been in other parts of the state, spent huge amounts of money on a brown bear hunt. And then they come here and they say, I want to shoot the first legal bear I see. And I hear that, and it just makes my stomach crawl because I'm afraid that they're going to shoot a sow.
Gilliam and Benda have different ideas about what Fish and Game should do to lower the harvest of sows. Benda says, make it illegal.
And would make big difference if I would say, listen, it's not legal to kill female, and then things would work much better for everybody.
No, because it's too hard to tell the difference.
That's Gilliam. He says making it illegal to harvest any sow would result in punishing people for shooting a female they thought was a male. Instead, Gilliam thinks Fish and Game should take the same steps they recently decided to take for mountain goat hunting. To discourage the harvest of nanny goats, hunters in Unit 1D now have to take an educational quiz. Right now, biologists say the harvest numbers aren't worrying enough to implement new regulations. They plan to closely watch the results of this spring's hunting season, which closes May 31st. If hunters continue to take a high number of sows, Koch says they'll need to address it, and it might require more than an educational quiz. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
The Alaska Department of Education has canceled state standardized testing because of problems connecting to an online server in Kansas. Tens of thousands of students across the state were scheduled to take the Alaska Measures of Progress, or AMP, exams. Superintendents in the Haines and Skagway school districts say calling off the tests was the right thing to do. KHNS's Emily Files has more.
Haines Interim Superintendent Rich Carlson says a state completely canceling its annual standardized testing is unprecedented.
I've been doing this for about 43 years. I have never experienced before, nor have I ever heard of it before.
But Carlson thinks it was the best option given the circumstances. Last week, a construction worker severed a fiber optic cable at the University of Kansas, where Alaska's testing vendor, the Achievement and Assessment Institute, is housed. That disrupted testing for students across the state, including those in Haines. When Carlson found out Friday afternoon that the state was calling off the exams,
I was thrilled. I really was. I think that it was a gutsy call on the part of the commissioner and, you know, the people at EED, but it was the only right call.
Carlson says it would have been a shame for students and school districts to be sized up based on tests that were interrupted by technical glitches. In a press release, Interim Education Commissioner Susan McCauley says that's the central reason for canceling the tests. She says the disruptions rendered the exam results invalid.
After reading the rationale from Dr. McCauley, I think it was a tough decision, but I think it was the right decision. I think that the concerns over validity were paramount.
That's Skagway Superintendent Josh Coffrin. Skagway students hadn't started taking the AMP exams yet. They were scheduled for later this month. Coffrin says it's a relief they won't have to deal with the technical glitches, but it is disappointing that the school district won't have that data to compare to last year's results, which was the first year for the AMP tests in Alaska.
You know, it isn't as if we are moving blind, but it would certainly have been nicer to have that data, especially 2 years in a row from the AMP assessment.
The AMP in general was not designed to help teachers drive instruction.
That's Carlson. He doesn't think the second year of AMP data would have been very helpful anyway.
It's only disappointing from the standpoint that we put so much time, so much effort, and so many resources into it, but not necessarily that we're going to not get some great results that we really need.
Both Haines and Skagway have other standardized test data to rely on, the MAP tests, or Measures of Academic Progress. Coffrin describes them as math and English tests that grades K through 12 take multiple times per year to measure academic growth. The MAP tests are voluntary. Not all school districts participate in them.
From there, teachers are able to tap into a wealth of data as far as instructional resources, as far as knowing exactly what the strengths and the weaknesses of each student are.
Some Alaska superintendents have advocated for Alaska replacing the AMP with MAP. The Education Department will be issuing a request for proposals for a new statewide exam system to be implemented in spring of 2017. But even though there will be a new test next year, Carlson worries the failures of the AMP exams will hurt the long-term credibility of standardized testing in Alaska, causing more parents to opt their children out of the tests altogether. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
A record field of 431 skiers signed on for this year's Buckwheat Ski Classic over the weekend outside of Skagway. Race organizer Jeff Brady says getting the course ready posed many challenges. In the end, the start times and race route were modified to compensate for the soft trails and warm weather. The entire race was run on about 6 miles worth of trails, including the longest event, the 31-mile or 50-kilometer race. Brady says the shortened track created a bit of a logjam at the aid station, with a section of trail having to be shut down after a couple of hours. Brady says, quote, despite the crowded course, slick trail to start, and soft snow in the afternoon, there were no injuries or incidents, and everyone had a howling good time at the 30th annual Buckwheat Ski Classic, end quote. Next year, the race will return to its usual weekend in late March. Besides the competition winners, several special awards were handed out this year. Longtime volunteer Jeremy Scotchman Simmons won the Des Duncan Sportsmanship Award, while Marcel Jolie won the Father Mouché Most Inspirational Skier Award. Alberta's Curtis Brock won Best Costume with his Wookiee getup. This year's race theme was a play on Star Wars. It was called Ski Wars, May the Wax Be With You. Annika Thol of Skagway won the honors of Miss Buckwheat 2016. Find a link to the complete results at khns.org. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.